Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to talk a little bit today concerning shaking and the kingdom. And hopefully we can get through most of this today. But Hebrews 12:25 says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking." See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Has God ever been speaking to you and you just sort of ignored it? See, we're honest with that, you know. So sometimes we don't even realize it's God until a little bit later. But he says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven." So there was warnings on the earth to people, his people, and they refused to listen. He said, and they didn't get to escape. He says, how do you think we're going to escape when we hear the voice and it's from heaven? Verse 26, "And his voice shook the earth then." Who's doing the shaking? God is doing the shaking. A lot of times we want to credit the enemy for a lot of things that's going on, and he does influence things, but as far as the shaking, God's doing the shaking. And he said he shook the earth with his voice, and now he has promising saying this, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." So he's saying, okay, there's another shaking coming, but it's not just going to shake the earth, it's going to shake heaven. Now, he looks at this and he says, "Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but heaven." And this expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken. Now listen to what that says. Shaking is for the removal of imperfection. Shaking is for the removal of what can be shaken. Shaking is for the removal of imperfection. Now, when we're going to read this, he said, removal of those things which can be shaken as created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So in the midst of a shaking, there are going to be those things that fall because there's no foundation of God in it. And those things that cannot be shaken, those are the things that he says are going to remain. It's very important that we understand that. He says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Now, in the midst of what I want to share today is a two-component piece. One thing is about the shaking that we're seeing on the earth. And God is doing the shaking. There's a reoccurring shaking of people's confidence. Listen to this, of people's confidence in our government. Let me say that again. There is a shaking of people's confidence in our government. You, are you there? Are you with me? I'm not down in the government. Look, God has given us government. See, he's given us the authority. He's given the authorities that govern us. He's placed them in our lives. But as we look around and say, we've got super high inflation, things have gone up a lot. It takes a lot more to purchase what you used to purchase for just a little. So you begin to see that there's a shaking going on, and God's doing the shaking. So with that, we also see that not only is it the prices, but we see our borders we're just being flooded at our borders. Now, we may say, you know, well, that's not too bad. It will be. You won't see the full result of it till later. But see, the thing is, we got laws in place for people to come to the United States. And matter of fact, Lynn Hopper. Yeah, stand up. Stand up, Lynn. Am I in trouble? Say, how long have you been with us?
15 years.
How many?
15 years.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that. Yeah. So how long have you been a citizen of the United States?
Since
2013. Since 2013.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. See, but here's the secret. She went through the system to become a citizen. The day she became a citizen, the government shut down. That's the truth. The day she was sworn in to be a citizen, they said, government shut down. Do what? October what?
First.
All right, so good things can happen when people do the right things. The government can shut down. this is not a political message. It really isn't. It's when you start looking at what is actually going on where we live, we need to be able to discern what is God saying in the middle of what he's doing.
Amen.
Do you hear that? What is God saying in the middle of what he's doing? If he's doing the shaking, a lot of things are going on, what is he up to? What is he doing? And that's our job. You know, we need to understand that even in the situation with our schools, our universities, our government agencies, we see a lot of things going on that are not right. It's true that's just not right. But what we are given as people of the kingdom, we have to find God's meaning in the midst of the shaking, so we can actually represent what he's saying. Because there's more than one person talking. He said, my sheep will hear my voice. And they will know his voice. But God's not the only one talking. He didn't say he will be the only voice that you will hear. There are other voices, plenty of other voices, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But see, God brings this shaking even to bring us to the place of seeing what will not fall. During a shaking, you will see what will not fall. You will also see what will fall. See, the kingdom in itself cannot be shaken. See, when you look at this passage and you see, it said that those things which can be shaken and those things which cannot be shaken. The same word for shaken is in both places. But see, when he says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom, it's huge in this passage. We receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Different word. You know what this word means? We receive a kingdom which cannot be removed. It cannot be taken away. It is unstoppable. It is immovable. It's unshakable. And it won't be taken away from us. We won't lose the kingdom. We have to understand that's what he means when he says shaken, the kingdom. But see, he says we receive a kingdom. Very important word again. What do you mean receive a kingdom? That word receive, to be able to receive the kingdom, it means to accept God's rule over your life. To receive the kingdom is to accept God's rule over our lives. Otherwise, we may see a kingdom, but we haven't received the kingdom. Are y'all with me? And it also means to accept the right to rule with God as co-laborers with God. So here's the thing about it. Have we received the kingdom? Have we accepted God's rule? And see, this thing about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you've been worried about will be added to you by me, is what God is saying. But seek ye first. Seek ye first to be ruled and governed by God. Find out what he says about it, go do it. Find out what he wants you to do about it, go do it. Find out what he wants you to say about it, and then go say it. Seek ye first to be governed by God. Seek ye first the government of God. See, what does the Bible say about the government of God and Jesus? It was laid upon the government of God is laid upon Jesus' shoulders. In other words, he's carrying his yoke. He's carrying his shemal. What governs him is what his Father is saying and doing. That's receiving the kingdom. That's the reason Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. What is his yoke? The government of God. Upon his shoulders, resting upon his shoulders. And by the way, he doesn't say, come to me and I'll put this on you. He didn't say that. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he says, you take my yoke upon you. That's one of those things of of surrendering and saying, yes, I accept the government of God as ruler in my life. So we need to understand that this thing about receiving the kingdom is us submitting to it, embracing what he's given us to do in his kingdom, and then go do it. See, in these things of shaking that is going on, there is a meaning from God that is in the middle of it. The world won't see it. Only those who are in the kingdom and submitted to God and saying, yes, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do, say what you want me to say. Those are the people he has designed to see the meaning of what he's doing. Okay. He said, but the kingdom that you receive, the kingdom that you accept the kingdom that you say yes to govern my life. You rule my life. It doesn't mean that you're going to sit around praying all the time. It doesn't mean that you're going to sit around reading the Bible all the time. You're still going to do the things that God is putting you to do. He said, whatsoever your hands find to do, do as unto the Lord. Whatever that is, do it as unto the Lord. See, the kingdom is still at work. We must become kingdom people. Not just, hear me now, not just church people. People that have it in our minds that we go to church, and we don't do that. We are church. We don't go to church. What was that little thing the other day? Go ahead. What was it? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open door, and that's Ewens. That's all the people. We are the people of God. We are church. We are church here. We're gathered together as church, not to have church. Boy, we had church today. No, you don't. Church is not something you have. Church is something you are. See, that's the thinking. The enemy wants to think that, okay, if we have a good time here and we feel the spirit or whatever, that we've had church. See, as long as he can get us thinking, say, okay, we had church, well, then we'll want that same thing next Sunday. Because if we had church, I want that again. So, Pastor, get it cranked up, get it going. It doesn't work that way. See, we're church here, and we're also church on aisle 7. Somebody asked me one time, it was in a message, and I know Lynn will remember that she reminded me of it the other month. She said, aisle 7 is where the prunes are. And that came out of a message. I remember hearing a story from Gina Wilson about she's on the potato chip aisle. And somebody, she run into somebody, and this somebody is going through a difficult thing and a hard time. She knew her, and I think, didn't you know her? Or did you know? Yeah. And so here's this thing. And then she's over there where Lay's potato chips are. And it's like this. I ain't got time for this. I got shopping to do. Until God says, I want you to pray for that lady. In the middle of the potato chip aisle? Yeah. And then she obeyed. So she was church on aisle 6 or whatever the potato chip. You understand what I'm saying? It's who we are. It's who we have become. And his kingdom has, he said, I've given you the kingdom. Matter of fact, the Bible says over in Luke, it said, fear not my little flock. This is one of Brenda's favorite scriptures. Fear not my little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Why fear not? Don't fear. Don't be worried about this stuff. Because it is my good pleasure. That's what he said. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So that's a very powerful statement, and that statement came from Jesus. So God is in the midst of taking us through places of, looks like a lot of shaking and a lot of chaos. But we are not to be bogged down with worry nor anxiety. Because we have to begin to see the empowering meaning of what the shaking's about. And we already know that shaking is for the removal of what is imperfect or incomplete. So, that was Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We are born as little flock. We're his flock. We're his people. We are born to demonstrate the kingdom in this time in history. I met some young ladies back there at the back. They're visitors, first-time visitors. It's good to see you guys, and good to meet y'all. You know, but I look, I don't know their age, but I know they're young. They're younger than me. But I didn't ask her age. But I see them, and I'm thinking about the message as I greet them. And a lot of other people said, well, you know, if all this is going on and the world looks like it's gloomy, listen, you live in the best time you could ever live in. You and I get the honor and the privilege to demonstrate him and his kingdom in the midst of the worst chaos you could ever see on earth. I mean, he chose you. There's a song that Dan sings. Of all the places you could have chosen to live, you chose me. You chose me to live in. He chose you to live in. And he's chosen you to be alive on this earth at this time during all the shaking out there. And he's put inside you a kingdom to be lived out to demonstrate what he's saying in the middle of all of it. In the middle of all of it, he's saying, you've got something to say because I've given you something to say. You've got something to do because I've given you something to do. So as we begin to receive the kingdom and let that kingdom begin to work inside us and live that out with kingdom living instead of just, you know, listen, to be honest with you, some church living is not really kingdom living. Well, just because you call it church. You have to think about that just for a little bit. You know, kingdom living is exactly what it is. It's the kingdom of God working inside us to be lived out. But we have to accept that rule in our life, that he's going to be the master. He's going to be the Lord of my life, of your life. But our job is to find that divine meaning in the midst of everything that's going on. There's a divine meaning that he wants us to discover so we can communicate that to other people. We was talking Wednesday night, the verse in Ephesians that talks about there is a need in a moment, the need of the moment in a person's life. He says, there's a need there. You and I are going to be placed wherever that need is, wherever God sends us for that time, that moment of time of that need. And the Bible says that when you share a word that builds up, not tears down, not produces fear, not produces anxiety, but a word that builds up. He said, when you share a word that builds up to this person in this moment of need, they will be able to find grace to be able to live out what they need to live out. You and I hold grace within us. We've been given grace, the empowerment of God, the divine favor of the Lord, and to be empowered by God to be able to live out what he said for us to go do or go say what he said for us to go say. Grace has been given to us to go do that. And he said, you're going to run into somebody that has a moment that has a real need, and as long as you give them a word that builds them up, God's promise is that they will find grace in that time of need. We're grace carriers. We're Christ carriers. He is inside us, living inside us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to see ourselves as the ambassadors of God to be able to go to places. You can go to foreign countries, it's fine, but to go to places in our own neighborhood and be a carrier of the Word of God for when somebody's in a time of need, like in the potato chip aisle. The time of need came, she broke away from what her purpose of being at the store was. What she didn't know is she was sent for that lady. So here's one thing we need to learn concerning this, and I've got to hurry, that we need to, how many of you know that it's okay to talk about your feelings? But it's not okay to let your feelings do the talking. How many of you have let your feelings do the talk? You can raise it higher than that, Jenna. Yeah, I'm messing with you. So how many of you have let your feelings do the talking, and all of a sudden things are just falling apart? Can I get a witness? So you can talk about your feelings, but don't let your feelings do the talking. See, here's another point, that there is a future. There is a future seeking to be found. And that future is called the kingdom of God. How can we see? Here's the thing about it. If we're supposed to find the meaning, the divine meaning of something that's not real good, something that's happening because of the shaking. I say, God's shaken to remove the imperfection. I mean, if we're supposed to find the divine meaning, the empowering point that God wants us to see in the midst of all this, how are we going to do that? How are we going to see it? How will we do that? The kingdom that you demonstrate will be the kingdom that you have operating inside you. The kingdom that you demonstrate will be the kingdom that you have operating inside you. So we have to have the kingdom of God in operation. The kingdom principles that he says, the things he doesn't want you to do, the things that he wants you to do, the things that he doesn't want you to say, the things he does want you to say, have those in operation, then we'll be able to see the true meaning of what the shaking is all about. And that's going to come you will be challenged in your thinking. You will be challenged in your thought life. Because if you've already got, how many of you, for once or twice in your life, you had it all figured out? Eight people. Next Sunday's message will be about lying. No, I'm messing with you. Let's see, some talk long time. So we think we've got it all figured out. We got it all figured. And that song says, "Me and Jesus." Got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. And we'll get up and sing and we'll just dance to that. And the whole thing is unbiblical. See, he said, you need each other. We are the body of Christ. We need each other. Because when I can't see my blind spot, Amanda can. And trust me, Amanda will come and tell me. And it's perfectly okay. You know why she'll do that? Because she loves me. We need each other. We just can't say, it's just all I need is Jesus. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said you do need him. He also said you need the body. You need the body. We need each other. Okay. So let me move on from this thing that's shaking in the earth. There's so many things that are shaking in the earth today. There's just, if you just sit down and just notice it and just, it's there. But let's look at this thing about us. See, Jesus said in John 18, verse 36, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh, that's good. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting to make sure that I wouldn't be delivered up to the Jews. They'd be fighting to protect me. They'd be fighting for me not to go this way. He said, my kingdom is not of this realm. And that's the one that he's given over to us. That's the one he says, I want you to receive. I want you to be able to accept my rule in your life. I want you to embrace it. It's my kingdom. See, we'll have experiences that will lead to beliefs, that will lead to decisions, that will lead to results. We will have experiences that will pull so many voices in because they want you to think a certain way and they want to control what you think. So the question is not the experiences that you have. The question is, who is shaping your beliefs? Is it the media? Is it politics? Is it the universities? Is it the government? Is it the government agencies? See, it works both ways. Or is it the kingdom? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it the Word of God? Is it the Spirit of God that is shaping your beliefs? Whatever is shaping your beliefs, when something happens, what you going to believe over here? God's mad at me. Well, that's not the truth. God doesn't love me. That's not the truth. Your beliefs are not being shaped by the kingdom of God in that thought process. So if you think that, you're going to make a decision according to that thinking. And then you're going to have the fruit of that decision to come out. Amen. Works that way in the negative. It works that way with the kingdom. So here's the thing about it. Who's shaping your beliefs? Is it the Word of God? Is it godly men and women teaching you the Scriptures? See, listen to this. We can walk around and have a mouthful of Scriptures. While at the same time having a heart full of judgment. Do you hear me? We can have all the verses, and we while having a heart that judges people. See, it's not how many Scriptures that you know. It's how many Scriptures that have you. It's not the Scriptures that you have. It's the Scriptures that have you. How much of that kingdom has you and has you, has me? Nothing wrong with knowing Scriptures. That's the reason Jesus said, you've got all of it going on. Your lips are saying what they need to say, and you're doing all this other stuff, but your heart is far from me. Yes. Why is that? They know all the religious stuff, but they don't know him. They know all the words, but they don't have the relationship. The kingdom life, kingdom living is living life in the kingdom. You know why there's a kingdom? There's a king. Well, I want the kingdom, but I don't want the king. Wrong answer. Don't work that way. Religion will try to say that. But that's not how it works. That's not how the kingdom works. So I look at this and then I say, see this one over in Matthew 6, 9. He says, our Father, he says, see, this is how he's telling them how to pray. This is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. That's when he was praying. He's teaching them how to pray. He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The little thing said, one little kid said, somebody asked, I said, do you know God's name? He said, yeah, it's Harold. I said, why is it Harold? He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Holy and pure is who you are. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we start out by saying, honor. He says, start out by honoring the Father. Give honor and respect to the Father, our Father who art in heaven. Honor and respect. And then he says, hallowed be thy name. It means to ascribe to his name that he is holy and that he is pure. Then it goes on, it says, thy kingdom come, thy rule come over me. There's no one like you. You're holy and you're pure. And I want your kingdom to come over me. Then he says, thy will be done. When his kingdom comes over us and we embrace the kingdom, then his will be done instead of ours. How many of you have sidetracked God's will to do your own? Yeah, we're getting a little bit more honest as we talk. I mean, No, see, the thing is, it's a reality. The song was saying, he defines me. He defines me. He is my reality. So, it creates a divine tension when the shaking comes. Because you know what he's after? He said, well, you know, I can't be shaken. He didn't say that. He said his kingdom cannot be shaken. If there's anything in you that is not kingdom, trust me, it will shake, rattle, and roll. Yeah. Are you hearing me? But the kingdom that you have living inside you will not be shaken, will not be removed, and it can't be taken away from you. So this shaking, he says, is for him to remove the imperfect. So we have scriptures that we stand on, right? We have scriptures that we do, that we believe, and that we stand on. But see, but even with those scriptures, we are not fully complete. We're complete in our spirit because he said we're seated with him in the heavenlies. Complete in Christ, our spirit. But down here on this earth, we are not in the fullness of our maturity yet. So the scriptures that you have are just the beginning of what you're going to get. What does that mean? There's more to learn about the kingdom. And he wants us to learn it. And he wants to have it. He wants us to be able to rule. There may be things come up, and all of a sudden, this would benefit me. Well, this could really benefit me. And then God says, I don't want you doing that. So now we've got this tension. We've got this divine tension between this and what God is saying. Have y'all ever visited that divine tension before? What God wants you to do, what you want to do, or what somebody else is telling you that you should do? Okay. So this divine tension is created by God in order to remove what is imperfect inside you and I. When that begins to happen more and more often, that is when we'll be able to spot the very divine meaning of any shaking that's going on. And that's he's training us to get ready to say what he's saying and to do what he's doing. And I'm telling you, that will be a harvest of people that will come in just by us having the ability to be able to do that, because they want answers. They don't want religion. They've tasted religion, and they didn't like it. They want the relationship of someone who is in a real relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what. Okay. The second thing from the mind, next thing it hits is our heart, which is our emotions and our feelings. And if we have any type of ego of we already know, we will miss the very thing that he wants us to learn. It's like I said before, you know, Michelangelo, whoever did the chiseling of the horse, who was that? Was that Michelangelo? Or was it Mike Jello? I don't know who it was. But anyway, he gets this big granite rock, and so I says, what are you making? And so he said, a horse. And I said, well, how do you know where to place your chisel and your hammer? He said, I just remove everything that doesn't look like a horse. What is he after? He's after removing everything that doesn't look like Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's stand. So when you feel shaking on the inside and you feel and you know God is doing the shaking, there's something he wants to remove that doesn't look like Jesus, and he wants to replace that with the image of Christ, of who he is, and place kingdom principles in our living. We're all going to get there to the fullness of who he is. We're going. Aren't we? Yeah. We're headed that way to the full. I honestly believe that when we reach more of the fullness of Jesus, we'll be able to see and do the things that he said that he's got, but we could do greater things. Why is that? When we come to the fullness of who he is. We fully have him. We're not operating in the fullness of who he is. Does anybody in here need Jesus in your life? You don't have him. Maybe it was a religious thing. Maybe you've never done it. Maybe you've never confessed your need of him. Is anyone here that says, I want to accept Christ today in my life? Anybody here? All right. We're all family. Okay. Where is he going to send us? Wherever he wants to. Yeah, so when we go, what are we there to do? In the midst of the shaking, we have to have the kingdom operating inside us. And when we have that, we'll be able to give that to other people. Amen. We'll be able to give them that word of building them up that will give them the grace that they need to operate. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for these people. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your love, your compassion, And thank you, Lord, that you are truly, truly working us to the place that we are to look just like you, just like your son. Lord, we do pray your kingdom come. I accept your governing in my life. Your will be done on earth, in me, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.